This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Reverend Homer Larson will be conducting today's service. Please listen following the service for information on how to order CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon. We thank you for tuning in and invite you to worship with us every Sunday on this station.
Before Jesus Christ can be comforting, he has to be disturbing. That's why many people will ignore him. We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come into this world and have made it very clear your purpose for coming. It is you who have said, it is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick, and that you have come to call the sinners and not the righteous. Father, we pray that those great truths that sound forth from the texts that have been given to us this day may ring clearly in the hearts and the minds of those who listen and I who proclaim it. Grant that all may be done according to your holy will, that your kingdom will continually be strengthened, and we will know you in a greater way than ever as a crucified but risen one. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning at the 9th verse. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the disciples saw this, they asked, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is eternally true. Friends in Christ, before Jesus can be comforting, he will be disturbing. That's why some ignore him. That's the thought that I'd like to leave with you today. Our Lord was in Capernaum. It was a town on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus spent a lot of time there in his early ministry. He made it his headquarters, and it was often called his home city. It was the seat of a tax collector who at the time of our text happened to be a person named Matthew. Now, I don't want to bore you with the details of this because I'm sure that most of you realize the structure of how the Romans collected their taxes. But just to review it and perhaps to acquaint others who have never heard of this before with the system, let me say that Rome would take a section of land, let's say like Palestine, and would auction it out to corporations or to extremely wealthy people and say that from this parcel of land, we expect to have so many millions of dollars, and we'll use American currency for our purpose of communicating. We want so many millions of dollars. Now you can bid on it, and then all you have to do is go out and collect this money from the people, give us our share, and what's left over is yours. There's no limit on what you can charge. So this was a very profitable business, and tax collectors were usually very wealthy people. Most of them were considered to be scoundrels, though not all of them. The wealthy man who had been successful at the auction and had that parcel of land would then go out and hire lesser people to collect the money. And Matthew, as I understand it from my reading, was one of these tax collectors who actually was with the people and getting the money from them and hearing of their distaste for this whole system. But in spite of the abuse that they had to take and how much people hated them, they continued to be wealthy individuals. Now, Matthew, some commentators believe, had grown very weary of his work. He didn't like it at all. It was tiring. There was no satisfaction with it at the end of the day. And so consequently, he had gone out and listened from time to time to Jesus. He was intrigued what he heard Jesus say. In other words, Jesus was getting to him. So one day when Jesus was there at Capernaum, he walked by where Matthew was sitting, collecting his taxes, and he spoke these words, "Follow me." And it says that Matthew got up and followed him. Shortly thereafter, he was found to be in a home having dinners. Matthew's home, we are told, having dinner with Jesus, a group of tax collectors, and other people whom the Pharisees had called sinners. While he was in there with them, and you can jolly well be sure that he was telling them who he was and why he had come, and there was such a thing as a forgiveness of sins, and they were all sinners. The Pharisees outside were sinners. They who were inside the tax collectors were sinners, In other words, he was disturbing them. He was confronting them with who they really were, but he was anxious to give them the second part of the message, that if they would repent and turn to him, their lives could be changed, it could be turned around, and they could become children of God both now and forevermore. And that so intrigued them that while Jesus was having a great sight inside that home and eating that meal, he didn't care much what the Pharisees were saying outside. When he got closer to the door, Jesus must have heard their question, "How is it that your teacher eats with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus stepped out and said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." In other words, I have been talking to these people about their sins, and I am assuring them that I can grant them the forgiveness of their sins, and they can be God's forever and ever. He had experiences with other tax collectors. If you're acquainted with the 19th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, he is telling the story there about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus also was a tax collector who had become very wealthy, hated by his fellow men, and Jesus spent the night with him in Zacchaeus' home, and during that night, Zacchaeus was converted, turned around, a man who had become a man of God in Jesus Christ. Truly, Jesus was disturbing to all these people, for it matters not whether you're a tax collector or who you are. You and I know well that not everything is right inside of us. And when our Lord Jesus Christ has to deal with us to help us make this thing right, that he can make it right, that our sins can be forgiven and we can be restored into fellowship with God, those are some very disturbing moments. And I'm sure that those of you who live today in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ know what it's all about. Matthew would be the first one to tell you that after I met Jesus and I walked with him, my life was different in every way. And he followed Jesus Christ all the way to the cross. He watched him as he paid the price for the sins of the world. Jesus had died there in order that Matthew might have his sins forgiven and that you and I might have the same. He had watched him as he was treated so unjustly by the Jews and by the Romans. But in spite of it all, he was still the Lord who had come to do his Father's work. And so it was to the cross that he went, and when he was done at the cross, he was raised up from the dead on the third day. And 40 days later, he was ascended into heaven. But just before he went, he uttered these words, "Go and make disciples of all nations, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." That was what Matthew had experienced as his life had been united with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus no longer walked on this earth, you could ask the question, well, what did Matthew do? While the scriptures do not tell us, tradition seems to give us the impression that he stayed in and around the city of Jerusalem and told them the story of Jesus Christ, evangelizing them, telling them of their sins, and telling them that God loved them in spite of it, and if they would but repent and turn to him, they could be forgiven. But beside that, Matthew evidently had a very, very great gift, and that was to write. So he sat down and wrote the Gospel of St. Matthew, from which our text comes today. There he has the story of all that had taken place. In the middle of that whole story, and that's where our text comes from today, he has just a few verses autobiographical, where he is talking about his meeting with the Lord. But as you page through that book, you see the things that had really impressed him. He had had the opportunity to be with Jesus when Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had watched Jesus in his enthusiasm say, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You are Peter, and on this rock," meaning the confession, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So when Matthew stood there at Calvary and watched Jesus dying on the cross, he knew that there was something beyond the cross. This suffering, dying Savior was going to establish the church on this earth, and the gates of hell could not prevail against it. He wrote that in his book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He also wrote, "All you who are weary, come unto me, and I will give you rest." So often when he was tired and worried and frustrated and disturbed and convicted of all of his wrongs, he could kneel at the foot of the cross, and there this Matthew, this former tax collector, could find his peace in Jesus Christ. And he wanted to be used as an instrument of the Holy Spirit that we might have that same experience. And so we have this great, great text today, the calling of St. Matthew. Friends, related to this, I'd like to ask you the question, where does Jesus fit into the picture in our society today? Now, I'm sure that those of us who would answer that question would probably draw different verbal pictures, for no two of us perhaps see him exactly in the same way. But what place does Jesus have in the lives of those who make up our society today? Well, I believe, friend, and I want to start off very positively because it could get disturbing at the end. I believe with all my heart that within the Church of Jesus Christ today, there are many tremendously gifted, committed people who are really serving the Lord. I love to sit in church, in the pew now. And there I find these people coming and going. I see a man coming with a Bible under his arms, and when the service is over, he rushes out and you say, "Hey, where are you going?" "I'm on my way to teach my Bible class." High school students, they love him, and he loves them. That's a committed person in our church. Down just three or four pews from where we sit every Sunday is another couple. They bring along their grandchildren every Sunday. You see, the grandparents promised when they had the children baptized that they would see that they were instructed in the principles of the Christian faith. And boy, are they doing it. They're right there, and those kids are listening. Marvelous. I see another fellow who comes up to me every Sunday that I'm worshiping there and greets me. Eric is his name, the handicapped boy. But he's there every Sunday. You know how he's there? Two people pick him up, bring him to church, that he might be fed with the word of God. And Eric will be one who will meet us when we get to heaven, unless we're there first. And I meet another family. In retirement. They come every Sunday morning. How much easier it would be to get in their car and drive to the church and go in and just take care of their own particular needs. But they go and pick up some of these kids from this institution or wherever they live, bring them to church. I look around and I see people who are sitting there as committed believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know how they got there, humanly speaking. And others in the church in that same service will be there. They were the ones who introduced them to Jesus Christ, through whom the Holy Spirit worked, that brought them into the faith. Ah, it's an exciting thing. So in any way to belittle the church would be sin. And I'm not going to do that. But there's another group of people. We can't leave it there. That wouldn't be fair. Who are very indifferent to any personal relationship with Jesus. Oh, they'll say that religion is good. My grandmother was a great religious person. My father was a good person and very active in the church, but I'm not too interested. Now, these are some of the people that I meet, you know, in the other societies that we belong to, the social clubs of one kind or another. But if you sit and talk with them before the dinner starts, you'll soon learn that important in their mind is a society that is filled with science, technology, economics, and some kind of a humanistic philosophy that can hold it all together. And that's as far as they want to go. But my picture, and remember this is just my picture, is that the majority of people where I live, just where I live, now remember that's a Midwestern town. That's different from New York and Chicago and San Francisco and so forth. The majority of the people have some connection with the church. They might even belong themselves, but they do not want to get involved. Hundreds of them are found in our churches. Many of them are found in the church where I am. They do not want to get involved. Let somebody else do it. We'll support you. We'll come occasionally. We'll take Christianity on our own terms. And there are empty places in the pews. They could be full, but these people will not go out and invite. Where does Jesus fit into this whole picture? Well, it's sad to say, but not too prominent a place in the lives of most. But there's another group, and this is really disturbing. I don't know how large they are, but I know that there's a sizable group. And these people have been charged with great responsibilities of teaching the Word of God as it is found in the Scriptures and in the confessions of their denominations. But they have gradually slipped away a little bit, quite a ways. And so they come with a different message. And it comes in so subtly that you really don't know what's happening. Teachers. Some of them pastors standing in our pews. Remember, I think the vast majority of them are faithful, but there are some, and it's beginning to be felt. And there are some in our seminaries, and they are really multiplying machines, teaching another theology. What denomination are you referring to? I think all mainline Protestantism is affected. My own included, the Lutheran Church. And so the people will ask, what's happening, Pastor? It's not the same church anymore. Can you tell me what's happening? Well, I've had some ideas, but I finally got a pamphlet. And I'm studying that pamphlet carefully. And I think I'm going to be able to put it together. And so for the next few weeks, I want to talk to you about what's happening in our church and what can be done to bring it back to the message of God's holy word. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the one who brings us much comfort. But your word also brings much that is disturbing. And so we pray today that there may be within our souls a part of that disturbance, for we are concerned about what is happening in the church. Grant, O God, that we may be charitable. Guide us and direct us only from your scriptures. But grant, Lord, that we may understand that only that word is infallible, and it is not to be dealt with in an easy fashion to change. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. May today's sermon be a source of hope in the coming week. Many of our supporters have found it easy to give by joining Christian Crusaders Gem Club. This Gift Every Month program allows you to give a regular amount each month to support our ministry. To sign up, call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. Or 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Christian Crusaders now offers 5 DVD video sermons by our radio speaker, Reverend Homer Larson. The DVDs are available for a suggested donation of $10 each or $50 for the set. Please call or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to order. CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon are available by calling 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You can also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was our radio speaker, the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth every Sunday since 1936.